Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
I'm ready to blow with just one more sound.
Well, Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbifn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Hello there, everyone. This is your host tonight, Doran Rosenfeld. And I have a guest tonight, Dr. Janet Smith Warfield. She is a very interesting guest because it's not your normal guest on Brain Injury Radio, but she's going to show us the power of your thoughts and how they can free you from fear. Her teaching serves wisdom seekers who want understanding and clarity so they can live peaceful, powerful, prosperous lives. Through her unique combination of holistic, creative, right brain transformational experience and 22 years of rigorous left brain law practice, she has learned how to sculpt words in atypical ways, shifting her listeners into experiences beyond words, transforming turmoil into inner peace. And we all need some of that right now. Janet is the author of the Amazon best-selling book, Shift, Change Your Words, Change Your World. She's also the founder of Planetary Peace, Power, and Prosperity Legacy Foundation, Incorporated. Her new book, Surrendering into Soul, A Heroine's Journey, launches in the spring of 2021. Both mental and emotional trauma have shaped her views and led her to a deeper understanding of the power our thoughts have to change our destinies. Her path emerged 50 years ago through a mystical experience which led her to begin to play with words, discovering the many creative ways they structure our experiences. Awareness can be found through many angles. Socrates used questions. Jesus taught in parables. Buddhists used the Noble Eightfold Path. And Zen Buddhists use koans, which are riddles. Janet combines these learning styles into what she calls word sculptures. Word sculptures use words, paradox, metaphor, allegory, poetry, questions, deep dialogue to shift people into experiences beyond words, transforming turmoil into inner peace. When we change our words, we change our world. Our emotions change, our actions change, and our relationships change. And I think our guest is on the radio right now, so I'll ask Janet to come on the screen, on the radio right now. Janet? No, she's not on screen right now. Let me find out where she is, as a matter of fact. We've been having some trouble with the interface tonight, and I'm going to just play some music, and I'm going to look around and find her. This music is by a supporter of head injuries, and the supporter is someone who I've played before, but I don't know if I've ever played this particular song before. The song will be, let me find the right one here, Nicholas Deton Soccer Match. Here we go. Okay, that was rousing. Now, Janet, are you online right now? I have your microphone on so you can talk to us. Are you there?
I am online. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you fine. I'm so glad you're here tonight, Janet. I was worried because the interface was giving trouble. So, you're on, and I want to hear about these, more about word sculptures.
Well, let's talk first about our intentions for our words and for our life, because that focuses the conversation. I use different words depending on the intention of the person that I'm talking to, or sometimes what I may perceive as being their block or their challenge. So my words change depending on the need of the moment.
Okay.
We can talk about the fear part if you want. You had mentioned that in your
post. Yes, exactly.
Fear is big. Fear is big for everyone on the planet. And I have been there. I have not been challenged with head injuries, but I've definitely been challenged with fear and even terror. And I've had to experience it and then figure out how the heck I'm going to get myself out of this mess that I'm in.
And you were obviously successful.
Well, it's really interesting because it's always been a situation where I have had to make a hard choice. And I have, in order to stay in integrity with who I am, I have had to say no to somebody else. And, I mean, this has happened to me over and over and over and over again in my life. So I keep getting more practice in this. But the question is, the real question, are you going to stay in integrity and be beautiful, spectacular, powerful person you are intended to be on this planet? Or are you going to cower in fear because somebody is holding a whip over you and ordering you around? I've been in that situation just many, many, many times. And it's interesting. There are kind of two parts to this. For years, considered myself an agnostic, an intellectual agnostic. I was really clear that I did not believe in some old man with a long white beard sitting up on a thundercloud with a lightning rod in his hand waiting to strike me dead if I did not do some unclear thing he was telling me to do. So that was not my idea of God. I was really clear about that, but then what is this God thing that people are talking about? And I did not know. But I can tell you something I heard a long time ago was there are no atheists in foxholes. And that's the kind of position I felt as if I was in. I was terrified. I was afraid I would lose my life. And I was right in my living room. I was in a very safe place, but I was so distraught with terror, fear and terror, that the tears were streaming down my face, and I did not know what to do or which direction to turn. So I'm down on my knees in my own living room with the tears streaming down my face, saying, God, God, help me.
Wow.
And as I said those words, this amazing calm settled over me. And it felt as if together, somehow, some way, we were going to get through this. That's one piece of it. That's when I became a believer as opposed to an agnostic. But the other piece of it is that after, I think this was more after the fact, I started looking at the thoughts in my mind. I started watching my own mind and watching my own thoughts, and later realized that this is a practice in Buddhism. And sometimes Buddhists talk about big mind watching little mind. And what? Who's doing the watching here? That's a Zen koan, actually. Who's doing the watching? Because you don't know. But you can notice the thoughts flying through your mind. And whenever I was feeling fear or terror, one thing I realized was that my thoughts were generally focused in one of two places. Either they were focused in the future. What if this happens? What if that happens? What am I going to do? Or they were focused on what somebody else might think, say, or do if I stood in integrity and basically said no to another human being. I'm not going to do what you're ordering me to do.
Huh.
Now, once I noticed that, I was in choice because I could either leave my thoughts right where they were and continue to feel the fear and the terror, or I could choose to bring my thoughts right back to the present moment, which was a very safe place. My choice. You know, leave them where they are and continue to be afraid, or bring my thoughts right back to the present moment. But there are additional steps to this after that. I didn't say this was easy, but it's kind of interesting and fascinating because once I chose to bring my mind back to the present moment, which, as I say, was a very safe place, my next question was, what can you do right here, right now, to move your life in the direction in which you want it to go?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that was simple. That was really simple. And because there was always something I could do right here, right now. One thing I could always do was go clean up all the dirty dishes in my sink, which then brought my kitchen into order so that I had a more supportive environment around me. So, but I was in choice. And the other thing is when your mind is focused in the future or on what other people may think, say, or do, you're giving away your present moment personal power, either to the future, which may never happen, or to another person. When you bring your mind back to the present moment and you ask, what can I do right here, right now, to move my life in the direction in which I want it to go? And, of course, you have to figure out where you want your life to go, where you would like it to go if you had the perfect life. Then you can take that next step. And you're always, always, always in choice. And you've taken your present moment personal power back.
Mm-hmm. Sounds easy.
It isn't when you're stuck in fear or terror. But there are steps you can consciously and intentionally take to shift yourself out of that fear. And it's all about noticing your own thoughts, noticing your own mind, and then mastering your thoughts and your mind and choosing where you're going to focus them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, then. So how easy is it for most people to do what they intend to do? That's probably my next question.
Well, intention is an interesting word. And it's different. For me, there's a big difference between setting an intention and setting a goal. And part of that difference, I think, is the setting a goal is, to me, is a very masculine energy. I'm here, I'm going to go there, and I'm going to do this, 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 and this to get there. That's the way men think. I mean, it's very direct. It's very left-brain thinking. Setting an intention is a lot broader in many ways because I might set an intention, for example, that I want to live a life of service, which you are doing, certainly. You might set an intention that I want to live a healthy life. You might set an intention that I want to travel. Whatever it is, just think about it. And there are lots of ways of kind of discovering what your intentions might be. You can do a vision board, and we can get into the details of that if you want. You can write affirmations. Affirmations are very powerful. Affirmations are present moment statements about yourself. You're using first person singular because that's the way you get to know who you are. So affirmations might be something like this. Whether you believe it or not, you write them down. You keep them with a very positive focus. Things like, I am healthy. I am strong. I am courageous. I am powerful. I am peaceful. I serve others as I can. I take care of my body. I care for my mind. Whatever you want to write down. And you sit down, you just play with these things, but you keep them as positive present moment statements. And once you have a list that you're pretty much happy with, you say these to yourself over and over and over and over again, every single day. And just observe where you are resistant and observe how your energy is shifting as you speak these words, and you start believing them, and you start finding examples in your own life where they are true. And you think, well, maybe I am healthy. I did eat a very supportive breakfast this morning. Mm-hmm. Or I did take a walk today. Or I did do some stretching exercises. Whatever it is for you. And there are a zillion different answers to that question.
Yeah.
So you stop. You definitely don't censor your mind on this, but you focus your mind on the positive rather than the negative. You stop saying, oh, I'm such a mess. I've just really destroyed my life. Just choose if you want to. Believe me, if you want to hold on to those thoughts, be my guest. But they are going to get you where you want to go. If you start just writing first-person singular statements about I am, whatever it is, and then you put them where you can see them, you say them at least once a day, and just observe whether it shifts your focus or your energy. If you start saying, for example, every single day, I am beautiful, and I create beauty around me, and then you go for a walk out on the beach and you see a gorgeous sunset and you are part of that gorgeous sunset. And you think, oh, I never really thought of it that way before. I never noticed that connection. And I am part of that. So that's one exercise. These are practices or exercises. You can do them or not. It depends on how much you want to change your life around. And it depends on what you want to do with your one precious life, Mary Oliver. What do you want to do with your one precious life, regardless of what your physical limitations are? You may think of them as limitations or your physical challenges. You know, obviously we're talking about brain injury here, and you know, I can't talk from that space because I haven't had a brain injury, so I don't know what that feels like. But I've had plenty of other life challenges. And I'm sure that the life challenges I have had are probably similar to people who have suffered brain injuries, similar to the challenges, some of the challenges.
In a lot of ways, yes.
And, of course, you've had that experience, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. And it does change the way you look at things because you feel like, oh, now I can't do this or now I can't do that. You know, my whole life has changed. My whole life is different. And it's never going to be the same again. Well,
all
that's
of which
true,
is true.
But, you know, but. And
but what are you going to do with what you do have?
Yeah, exactly. That's the important question. That's the relevant question, I think.
That, and where can you find the people who will support you and love you rather than abuse you or call you names because they see you as being inadequate for some reason? So you look for your positive support systems as well as keeping your own thoughts positive and focusing on what you are going to do with whatever time you've been given. And none of us knows, do we?
No, we do not. And that's part of the reason that a lot of people have to be struggling so hard because we don't know. And I think that's to keep us interested. So we don't just, oh, I only have 3 years left. I'll just give up. Because
well, you can
that doesn't help
to give up. I can't begin to tell you the number of people I know who have been at a point where they were choosing whether to live or die.
I know, and that's so, so unfortunate.
Well, except it's kind of a, you burn down everything that you thought you had, and if you choose to live, then you rise again. You rise out
that's
of the
ashes. That's true. That's true. I was thinking about the people who choose to end their own lives.
We're not talking about those people here, but I certainly have been in that space, and I know a lot of people who have gone through that. I had a friend I was just talking to recently who's just, this is a man, a just amazing man, but he was at one point in his life ready to kill himself. He had it all planned out. He was going to drive his car at 100 miles an hour, I think off a bridge embankment or something like that.
Oh.
He started carrying it out.
Mm.
And suddenly he changed his mind. And the gift, and he just put on the brakes and slowed down and started rethinking about what he was going to do with whatever time he had been given. And we don't know.
Yes. That's wonderful because, yes, then you can do something because you feel like I've been given a second chance.
And you can always do something. You're always in choice. And it can be as simple as, yes, I'm going to do this or not. No, I'm not going to do it. It's just real simple when you bring it down to a yes-no question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so makes things pretty simple.
Just know you are in choice. You're always in choice.
Yes, and that's the important thing to remember. When you have had a head injury or you have anything bad going on, because you can influence your future.
You have whatever you have been given. And yes, you may not change your physical circumstances, But given those physical circumstances, what are you going to do with what you do have? And, you know, if we have time here, I don't know where you want. If you want to go someplace else, you just tell me. But I was in Glastonbury, UK, a number of years ago. And Glastonbury is a very interesting place. It has these ley lines under the surface of the earth, and they're all over the place.
Ley lines, L-E-Y.
It's if you think of maybe 100 years ago when a farmer was out in the field trying to decide where to dig his well, he would walk along with a forked stick and where it would suddenly go down, that's where he would dig his well. And that's where the water was, always. So ley lines, I mean, I don't understand a lot about them, but there's some kind of energetic lines beneath the surface of the earth. Anyway, getting back to Glastonbury, there is a tower there, which I think was built around 1200 A.D. It's way up on the top of a hill, and the hill is called the Tor. And it's a long, long walk up steps to the top of the tour. Well, one day I walked up there, and there was an archaeologist up there whose name was Rod. And he was telling me, or he was telling the group who were up there, about one of his own experiences. At the top of the tour, behind the tour, there is something that has been given the name the healing spot. And a lot of people just walk to the top of the tour, and they stand on that healing spot and set their intentions for the healing that they feel they want or need. Well, Rod, a few years before I met him, was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor. And he was told that his only chance of survival was chemotherapy and radiation.
Wow.
He chose not to do chemotherapy and radiation. Instead, every single day he walked to the top of that tor and he stood on that healing spot. And I don't know how long he did this. But when he went back to his doctors, there was no tumor. The tumor was gone. Now, I can't explain that. But it's kind of a miracle, and it shows what your beliefs and your thoughts can do to change everything in your life.
A lot more than people think, yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, we don't understand all the different energies out there that are trying to help us.
Well, this is the thing. And when you start setting goals or intentions, and I'm going to stand over myself with a whip and force myself to do this, you are actually cutting out your access to a lot of things out there that could support you and help you, even though if you can't really see them or conceptualize them or they don't make any sense to your left brain, your analytical, logical left brain, you will go through experiences that your mind cannot understand, but you experience them. And you say, there's something about this that is real in some sense. It's just like when I was down on my knees with the tears streaming down my face saying, God, help me. And suddenly this calm came over me. Now, what was that? It sure wasn't me setting a goal. It was a gift. It was a gift that came to me really out of almost desperation at that point.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So where would you like to take the conversation next?
Well, I'm just fascinated by you. I mean, it's something I've known, but you reminding me that, yes, we do have the power to change our own destinies. Yes, we can do that. And it's very important, I think, for people to know that, because it's so easy to forget.
But we don't do it by setting goals. But setting intentions is really important. If you could have the perfect life, everything that you wanted, what would that look like to you? And, you know, I mentioned vision boards before, but that's another great tool or vehicle for kind of exploring, well, what is it I want to do with this one precious life I've been given?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how much time I've been given. So just real quick, I mean, if you want me to go through.
Go for it.
How to do a vision board.
Yeah, why don't you tell us? I mean, I've heard different things, but why don't you tell us what it is to you?
Yeah, okay. Have you ever done a vision board or not?
No, believe it or not, I have not.
Okay, well, I've done, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them at different points in my life. And what's on them changes, but you get yourself a big piece of poster board and a pile of old magazines. I know here in Sarasota, Florida, we can get free magazines from the local library because after they've been around for a couple of months, they throw them out or give them away.
Oh.
So you get yourself a pile of magazines. You see, you got to keep your mind open because this doesn't need to cost anything or not much anyway. So
right.
You get yourself a piece of poster board and you allow yourself a couple of hours, sit down with these magazines and just flip through them. I have a pair of scissors there. And you just cut out anything that attracts you, that's kind of pulling you in, whether it's words, whether it's pictures, if you have family pictures or pictures of beautiful friends, you collect them as well, perhaps. And after a while, you get tired of collecting this pile of paper. When you get tired, then you kind of arrange it on your poster board, and you create any kind of collage you would like to create. You move the pieces around until you get it in a way that you like. Then you have paste, and you paste it down so that you've actually created your own collage. If you want, you can get it laminated, which gives it a little more stability. But you put it up on a wall where you can see that every day. I'm just looking. I still have all my vision boards in front of
really?
Me on my wall. And I can tell you, I think at this point I have manifested every single thing on every vision board, including a trip to Peru, which was up there for a lot of years before I actually manifested it. But, you know, I'm just looking at some of mine. Excellence, mission, love, keep it basic. Today is the day to create your tomorrow. We were good, now we're better. Find comfort in a storm. Front row center, relaxed times 4. I mean, these are just things that I happen to see in these magazines. Plus a lot of pictures of family and friends and a woman in a yoga position and a beautiful house out on the, it looks as if it's in the Caribbean, my granddaughters, you know, whatever has meaning for you. You'll be fascinated at how this evolves. It's not goal setting. It's allowing you, this is allowing your mind to play. And things will come in that will surprise you. When you get done, you'll start seeing connections between some of these pieces. Or maybe some of your friends will come in and look at it, and they'll say, oh, this looks like a stairway to heaven for me. And maybe that thought hadn't occurred to you, but somebody else sees it there. And once they point it out to you, you think, oh, yeah, I guess maybe it is a stairway to heaven. How does that fit into my intentions? It's fun.
Yeah, maybe I should do one.
play with it.
Yeah.
If you
we should all
do
one,
even...
I know, because it does. It helps you clarify certain things because, like sometimes, like you said, sometimes you need other people to see it, or you might just see a picture that really strikes you and think about it. And, hey, maybe that's why, you know, I need to do this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what happens. And you don't know what's going to show up, which is why it's fascinating.
Right. Right. That's what's the fun thing about it.
Yeah. There are other exercises. I mean, another great exercise to do is journaling. Have you ever done that?
Oh, yeah. I've done that. Yeah.
Okay. And journaling
and going back
nothing.
And looked later, it's like, oh, okay.
Exactly. I mean, this,
you know?
I've just, you know, I'm writing a new book called Surrendering into Soul, A Heroine's Journey. And I have, in the course of writing that book, I have had to go back to a very challenging time in my own life. Fortunately, I saved writings from that time, both my own and writings that other people I was involved with at the time had written. I haven't looked at those files for years, but going back now and looking at them, they bring up memories that I had forgotten and things that really mattered to me and were significant to me, and it gives more context to my life and more understanding to go back in later. So anyway, getting back to journaling, you get yourself some paper or a notebook, whatever you want to use, and a pen, or you can type if you want, and you allow yourself a block of time. You start writing. What's really important is that you write without censorship. This is you. It's kind of similar to watching your own mind and allowing your almost your subconscious mind to just express itself through the paper and the pen without your trying to control where it's going because somebody else might see it and be critical of it. So you do it without censorship. And it's fascinating. Have you ever walked a labyrinth? There are a lot of them around. I know two of the major ones I've walked have been in Chartres Cathedral in France, which I think is one of the most famous ones. And then there's one out at the Institute of Noetic Sciences out in Petaluma, California, that I've also walked. But walking a labyrinth is another fascinating experience because you enter the labyrinth and the end place where you're going is the center. But you don't go directly from the entrance to the center. You go in and you start walking around and you pass other people and then your paths separate. It's such a perfect metaphor for life. Well, journaling, if you do it and you don't censor yourself, is very similar because thoughts will come in and you think, where did that come from? But write it down, put it down, and you may find yourself resisting some of those thoughts. Ooh, I don't want to go there. I don't want to look at that. But just put it down, and you can even write in there, I don't want to look at that. Just watch your thoughts. It's the same process. Watch. It's big mind watching little mind, and that would be terminology by Buddhists, or it's the witness. You're witnessing who you are at the deepest level. And it's not all your flaws and faults. It's your beauty. So it's almost like, maybe you see some of the faults and you don't want to look at them. Well, don't then. Move on to something else. Just notice. Notice what's going on in your mind and your body and your emotions as you sit there and allow the words to flow through you and out through your fingertips and out through the pen onto the paper. No censorship. What will happen is your mind may go around in circles for a while. It's just like walking the labyrinth and you think, where the heck is this going? But you will come out at the end with a new way of moving forward. I can guarantee it. If you do it without censorship, this is you writing to you through the paper, observing your own mind and your own thoughts, which is very different from a conversation with another person. When you get finished writing, if you want, you just know you can rip it up, you can burn it, you can throw it in the trash, you can put it in the shredder, but I would strongly suggest you don't do that, because there's really important information in that journal.
Yes. I mean, the one I kept was when I was in the hospital after my injury, and I, you know, talked a little bit about it, but I had a journal. It's fascinating to read. Oh, so this is what I was like right after, because, of course, I don't remember any of that now. It was too long ago, but I just found it recently. I was looking at it, and, oh, how interesting, you know?
Well, this is the thing. You see, instead of being part of that experience, suddenly you're able to step outside of it, maybe after a number of years, but you're looking at it as an observer. It would be the difference between being an actor in a play and a member of the audience or the producer. I mean, which role would you like to play here? And maybe you'll play different roles at different times, and you'll see it differently depending on that perspective from which you're observing the words and the dynamic that's going on.
Okay. Yeah, because it's so interesting. I mean, the mind is on so many different levels, and we can't see everything at once. We only see a part of it.
Yeah, and at any one moment, yeah, what you see is very limited because your mind is focused in a particular direction, which means you're missing everything else that's potentially out there. So, watching your mind, watching your emotions, here are some good questions to ask yourself. What do I think right here, right now? What do I feel right here, right now? What do I need right here, right now?
Yeah.
What are my choices right here, right now? What do I need to know right here, right now? And whom can I trust?
That's important, yes.
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 You don't need to be around people who are going to put you down and criticize
you. No, you do not. You do not at all. That's just fascinating.
Yes, go ahead.
No, I was just thinking, you can learn so much. You study yourself, but you do it later, you know, because you're just writing something at the time, which you're reading later and saying, oh, that's why that happened.
Exactly. And at a later point in time, you have more information to make sense out of it. And you're also looking at it from the perspective of the audience, or maybe a producer, but probably from the perspective of someone sitting in the audience several years later, as you go back and read the part you were playing as an actor or actress while you were writing out that journal.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, very interesting.
Oh, it is absolutely fascinating once you free yourself from the fear. And, for me, there's been another emotion that's been quite prominent in my life that I've also had to deal with, and that's rage. It's why did this happen to me? I am a good person. I've always done my best, and look what has happened to me. Why? And I want to find somebody or something to blame.
Yes.
Sometimes I will lash out at somebody whom I think has caused my distress. But that's not a fun place to be. That's not a fun place to be. And I often think of that as, again, it's a shift. In one respect, it's almost a surrender of what has happened. Yes, it has happened. This is where I am right now. Yes, maybe it was unfair and unjust, and maybe somebody else did something really stupid and harmful. But I am where I am. And what am I going to do with the rest of my one precious life?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big question.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something we all need to know. And what you're saying, we have to realize that we can influence where and how our life goes.
Exactly.
And truly fascinating part. That's the fascinating part that people can forget about all the time.
I don't think people realize how much choice they have. A lot of people,
they don't.
I once had a friend who said, I never knew I had a choice. Well, you do. You always have a choice.
Hmm.
As I say, it can be as simple as yes or no. I'm going to do this or I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that.
Yeah, but just the realization that we do have these choices is something we need focus on.
Yeah. It's huge.
Hmm.
Because it frees you from the control of other people's ignorant thoughts. The ones that hurt.
Yes.
Or abuse or trash. But don't do that to yourself either.
No. Don't let other people do it to you.
Both. Just, it's not a fun place to be.
I mean, I luckily avoid that most of my life because I never pay attention to other people. Never bother listening to them or anything else. But It's fascinating that we can influence where we go and how we get there. And we have so much control over it, so don't ever let anyone tell you you don't.
That's exactly right. Just know that you do. You may need support from other people, but pick your people with a great deal of care. Who's going to support you and who's going to trash you? Just move away from the ones that trash you. You don't need that in your life.
That's true. Very, very true. Yes. Wow. It definitely gives you something to think about. It's like, yeah, I mean, we're all here. We're all busy living our lives, but we can actually influence our lives while we're living them.
We're living them each day. And every moment we take a breath in and a breath out.
Yes. We
can't
help it.
And our lives expand and contract just like the breath.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. And it's fascinating to know and to hear someone saying, yes, you can control that. Why would you ever think you couldn't? And it's like, but somehow we all think we can't when there's no reason to think we can't.
Yeah, and I don't think of it so much as control, which to me kind of, it feels like, standing over myself with a whip. But we can clearly set intentions, and we can clearly know in each and every moment that we can say yes or no. Or we can choose, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I'm going to walk away, or I'm going to speak my truth. Or I'm going to keep my mouth shut. There's so many choices in each and every moment. And you...
That is scary.
Each of us, Oh, yeah. Nobody, there's parts of this that are very scary. I mean, certainly, you know, this book I'm writing about a heroine's journey, I have been through something called the dark night of the soul, where you do not know which way to turn. And it feels as if everything's piling up against you and ganging up against you. And, you know, you ask yourself, am I going to roll over and die? Or is there some way out of this, some way forward? Well, there is. But you have to believe that before you can actually start manifesting it.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody has any control over that except you.
Can someone come to believe that they have this power? Because I know that's a big thing with especially with people who've had head injuries. Not believing you're good enough.
Because you're listening to other people instead of your own soul and your own heart and your own mind and your own spirit.
Just like that.
It's
just
trust
like
yourself.
That.
Trust
but
yourself.
Do you have any advice for people who want to listen to themselves more, how they can hear themselves talking more?
Well, start using a lot of first-person singular language. That's how you get to know who you are. And you may not like all of what you see, but you will learn. You will go beneath the challenges and the prison walls and the negativity, and you will discover that there is life there. I mentioned a while back that I visited Peru. And one of the things we did when we were in Peru was the shaman who was leading the group sent us through, I'm trying to remember what it was called, and I can't remember, but it was like this really narrow space between two rocks, and it had it was almost like a real narrow arch. And on the other side was nothing but beautiful, beautiful nature. And we were each directed to simply find ourselves a spot to sit wherever we wanted to sit. Listen to the silence.
That's really hard.
Well, that's because our minds go tumbling around all the time. That's why you do things like journaling, to just watch your mind and see what it's doing to your body and your spirit. But you can master your mind if you choose to do it. I won't say it's easy. I won't say it's a snapping your fingers, although there are moments when you just simply have an aha experience. It would be like looking at an optical illusion. Most people know the one of the old hag and the young woman. Nothing in the image changes. But what you see can suddenly change. And when you first see the old hag, for example, you think, oh, she's so ugly, you know, and I really don't want to look at her. And then all of a sudden you see the beautiful young woman. Oh, well, that's different. And nothing out there changes. The only thing that changes is what your mind and your perception do with what is out there.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, because you do, I mean, there's all sorts of pictures where you look at it one way and you see one thing and all of a sudden you see something else in the negative space that was there.
And you get an additional piece of information sometimes from another person, or maybe you just suddenly see things differently, or you choose to change your own conduct or your own thoughts, or your own words. It's entirely up to you. depends on what kind of a life you want to live.
Oh, wow.
And,
so this is doable.
Of course it's doable. But you
have your life the way you want.
You have to, yeah, you, another thing that I was taught, I've been through a lot of, I've worked with a lot of mentors, and I've been put through some pretty challenging experiences. For example, walking across a bed of hot coals in my bare feet, breaking a board with my hand. I've done ropes courses, excuse me, where one of the, I mean, there were a ton of different activities that they had us do, but one was climbing up to the top of a 20-foot telephone pole with a harness and, you know, a helmet. And we had something called a belay team below, which were a group of other people who held on to the end of ropes so that if we fell, they would be able to catch us and lower us down. So that becomes an element of trust, too, you know. Can I trust these people?
Oh, yeah.
But the other thing here is making the commitment to do it. Now, it's and a lot of it is choosing to either release something in your life that's dragging you down and holding you back, or to set a direction for your life that looks like Mission Impossible. So anyway, with this, the ropes course that I did, I climbed up to the top of the telephone pole. Well, there were these things you could grab hold of going up. But then when I got up to the very top, it was, how the heck do I get myself standing up on this thing? And the first time I fell, and my belay team caught me.
Oh,
and now
good.
Which was, you know, I can do this. I have a support system out there to support me. So I climbed again, and the next time I was just really noticing my balance and really noticing where I was positioning my feet. So the second time I was able to pull myself up to the top of that telephone pole and stand up on it. Now, once you stand up there, you are making this commitment to either let go of something that is holding you back or to do your own Mission Impossible, whatever that is, something that it feels as if you could never do. Once you have made that commitment, you stand up on top of that telephone pole. Your belay team is down below supporting you. And I think when I fell, they all and went back up again, they all cheered me. So, you know, I really felt as if I had a team behind me. But you make that commitment. And then you jump. And they, where I did it, they had a bell out there, and you were supposed to ring the bell. And she jumped off the telephone pole. And the belay team then brought me gently back down to the ground. It is such a strong anchoring experience is what they call it, because you have done something that you thought you never could do, but you did it, and you made a commitment. And the commitment might not have been to jump off the pole. The commitment might have been to forgive somebody or to set an intention to manifest this Mission Impossible in your own life. It's a life-changing experience to do something like that. Another one I did in one exercise was, and I did this with a partner, the coach, the mentor is standing up saying, everybody's going to do this. You've got to be out of your mind. I'm not doing this. Because what he told us we were going to do, they had quarter-inch steel rebars. And he told us we were going to stand opposite one another, two partners, with the steel rebar right at our throat.
Hmm.
Now, they did have a cap on it, but we were to make a commitment and run toward one another and bend that steel rebar.
Wow.
So I'm sitting there listening to this. I say, you're out of your mind. I'm not doing that. And he's saying, everybody in this room is going to do it. Then he demonstrated it. And so I thought, well, it can be done. So there was then a belief, okay, if he can do it, I can do it. So
wow.
I had a partner. We had the steel rebar. It did have some kind of a cap on it. And it took us 3 trials because I think my partner wasn't really quite committed. I was ready to go. But I think she wasn't fully in there, you know, with that commitment. I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But finally, on the 3rd try, we bent the steel rebar. And I have a photo of that.
Wow. Pretty amazing.
Well, it
and
is.
And you're just
an
ordinary person.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, but it changes the way you think about what is possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sometimes.
I'm sure
I
it
think,
does.
Yeah, it has to be a hard, hard challenge. A brain injury has got to be a hard challenge. But
yeah.
You can rise from the ashes if you make that choice and if you make that commitment.
That's
and there are lots of practices and support systems. Yeah, lots of practices and support systems that you can use, and you will be you'll find it pretty interesting, I think, if you actually do some of these practices like the vision boards or the journaling or the affirmations.
Mm-hmm.
Because things will come up for you that you didn't expect to come up, that you weren't looking for, but there they are. Oh, isn't that interesting? Where did that come from?
Yeah, exactly. That can be kind of scary sometimes.
Well, you see, this is why you you need to deal with the fear. I think everybody has fear. And we try
yeah.
to mask it and hide it and pretend we're strong. But until
yeah.
until you really start watching your own mind and then making choices, it's about mind mastery, really. You make choices about where you're going to focus your mind and what you're going to do with your one precious life.
You make it sound so easy and so possible.
No. It has not been easy for me. But you keep growing and you keep learning and you keep shedding the things that are holding you back and stepping into the things that you are capable of doing. And for me, it's really fascinating because I don't even know how to verbalize this, but I'll do the best I can. I've kind of surrendered into, in my book I use the term surrendering into soul, but it's as if time and space collapse into this present moment, and that's all you've got, which makes it really simple. What am I going to do right here, right now? With this one precious life I have been given.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's important because it's so easy for anybody, no matter what struggle you're facing, head injury or life trauma or a disease, whatever, just want to give up.
And you've got that choice. You can give up
yeah.
if you want.
But there
I
are,
have a friend.
You're giving us practical tools. You're giving us practical tools here so we don't give up.
Well, these are things, they're almost things to practice that you can play with and just observe where they're taking you. And you're always in choice. If it feels as if they're dragging you down into some horrible cave you don't want to go in, well, you don't go in it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But you may change your mind 5 minutes later, too.
Yeah, we can always change our mind. That's what we as human beings do best, right?
I think so. I think so, which is both a plus and a minus, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's just fascinating because we, no matter what we're taught, there's always control we can take and do things our own way. And that's so important.
It's really mastering yourself, I think, and supporting yourself and moving your life in the direction in which you would like it to go. It doesn't always go in the direction you want it to go. But you're always in choice. You're always in choice.
Hmm. Yeah, so what the heck, right? Do it. Take control. See what you can do because you might be able to do something.
Might surprise you.
Yeah, that's the wonderful thing about what you're talking about here. It's like, yeah, we can all do it all the time.
In each and every moment.
Yeah, you don't have to be any kind of special person to be able to do it. We can all just
do it.
And that's
you have
what's
that
great
power.
About it.
Yes, you have the power in each and every moment to choose your response. You may not be able to control what another person is going to do, but you can always choose how you are going to respond to your own body, your own emotions, your own environment, your own soul.
Yes. And that's the key, that you can, no matter what happens, we do have some control. You're never at the mercy of everybody else.
Yes,
you can do it.
Look at what your options are, regardless of your circumstances. I had a friend who appeared very successful. I mean, she had a good job and she was beautiful and, you know, from the outside, she looked very successful, but she was having suicidal thoughts. For some reason, she just wasn't happy. And it was probably because she was fitting into somebody else's stereotype of what she ought to be. Well, she also did skydiving. And one day she went up to skydive, and she had this premonition that her parachute was not going to open. But she went anyway, and she jumped anyway. The parachute did not open.
Uh-oh.
She had about 15 seconds to decide whether she wanted to live or die.
Wow.
She decided she wanted to live. Not only did she decide she wanted to live, but she decided that she wanted to live in a healthy body.
Wow.
And I don't know all the details, but she is living in a healthy body.
Wow.
And she's making a huge, huge contribution to the world.
Amazing. Amazing. Yes, we can do it. So she finally came to the belief then that she was worth something.
I don't think she even had much time to think about it. It was
no,
a choice.
No, but that's essentially what happened.
It probably, if you look at it from the outside, yeah. But she had to make a fast decision.
Yeah.
Just like the guy at the top of the tour in Glastonbury had to choose whether he was going to go through chemotherapy and radiation, or whether he was going to walk every day up to that healing spot and stand on the healing spot.
Wow.
I have a friend right now who just had a hysterectomy.
Ooh.
And she was diagnosed with uterine cancer. And they did not get all the uterine cancer when they did the hysterectomy. She is going out walking every day with her daughter and with her dog. She's up in Canada right now. She is not focusing on her problems. She is basking in the beauty around her and doing what she can do to keep herself healthy and happy and alive and well, and making some hard choices, clearly.
Yeah, makes very hard choices. Speaking of hard choices, I wanted to ask you more about the banishing fear from our lives business.
Okay.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Because it seems to just creep in and unexpectedly around whatever doors and windows we put up to stop it coming in.
It's watching your thoughts. Just watch your thoughts and notice where they are. And you're in choice. You can leave them right where they are, or you can choose to bring your mind back to the present moment. I mean, there's certainly other practices you can do. For example, just breathing deeply. I find very helpful, just breathing way, way as deep as I can breathe, a deep belly breath, and then fully breathing out. That is a calming practice. If I'm in a place where I can do it, just sitting and putting my feet flat on the ground and visualizing earth energy coming up from the center of the ground up through my body and stabilizing me and supporting me, and then visualizing beautiful light energy coming down from above me, right through my head and my chakras, running down my whole system, and supporting and energizing my body. There are tons of practices like that out there. Meditation is another one. Yoga is another one. Martial arts is another one. I mean, there are a zillion practices. And it just is a matter of choosing to explore them and find what works for you and what doesn't work for you. But there is something out there that will work and will support you, regardless of what has happened to you in the past and regardless of your physical condition. You start where you are. And you look at the resources that you have available, whatever they are. The fear, yeah, to me, it's two things. It's taking that leap of faith. And if you're terrified enough, you probably will take it because you don't know what else to do. God help me. Not because I tell you to do that, but it's coming from someplace deep inside. And then the other thing is watch your thoughts. Watch where they're focused. If you're in your own home and it's dark at night and you're afraid the boogeyman is right outside your window, you know, waiting to come in and or, you know, somebody who knows what, an intruder who's going to rape you or kill you, well, just that's your mind. Sometimes it's your mind. Sometimes there's validity in that, and it just means, you know, take care of yourself, protect your own energy field. But other times it's just your mind on sabbatical, flying around into the future or on what other people may think, say, or do. And of course, there's another aspect of this, which you see in some religions, particularly the Eastern religions, is you need to be comfortable with your own physical death. Because maybe that's the largest fear that someday my body is going to die. And someday all of our bodies are going to stop breathing. But our souls don't need to die. Our souls are always living and breathing if we allow them to live and breathe.
That's a nice thought, especially as someone who's had some kind of physical problem. And so they're angry that their body is not perfect because their soul is.
Exactly.
And that's
so the
important distinction to make.
Yeah, reconnect with that soul. Be that soul.
Yeah, no matter what you believe the soul is, there's something.
And the mind can't conceptualize it. But
when
you are your soul, you will know it because you feel it. You experience it. But you can't, your mind can't understand it. Because as soon as your mind steps outside of that experience and tries to look at it, it's creating a duality. There's me out here looking at my looking at my soul. Well, it doesn't work. You are your soul.
Right. So tell me, I don't know, we've never talked about it, but what do you think about the dream state?
You know, I don't dream a lot. I rarely have dreams, so I can't talk intelligently about it. But what I can say about myself is often I will be in a half-awake, a half-asleep state at night, and my mind is going, usually trying to put together the pieces of a puzzle that isn't together for me yet. And when I'm in that, I think it's a theta state, my mind, you know, the beta state is not there. My mind is not actively setting goals and trying to accomplish things. My mind is much more relaxed. So it's just like doing your journaling without censorship. Your mind, your theta mind or state is able to connect things in ways that your beta mind can't or your beta state can't. So that's what happens for me. You know, certainly I know there are a lot of people that have very powerful dreams, but I can't really speak to that.
Yeah, I'm like you. I dream in the half-awake, half-asleep state, so I'm kind of there for them. And I'm trying to figure out a puzzle. Sometimes I have dreams where I'm trying to figure something out, and I don't know what it was I was trying to figure out, but I'll have the dream like 7 or 8 times. And then
so there's
I'll
meaning
realize,
in that dream.
Yeah, what it's about. And the minute I realize what it's about, I'll never have it again.
Exactly. Because it solved your problem for you.
Yeah. I just find that so fascinating.
It is. It absolutely is. And we never know when we are going to be given these gifts. It is a gift.
Yeah. Our life, everything about us is a gift.
Yes, exactly. So you look for the gifts in your life, not for the roadblocks and the boulders and the hard things.
Yeah.
And then you say thank you. Then you say thank you. Thank you for
this life. Yeah, it's important to say thank you. Because even if you don't know who or what you're saying it to, just the process of thanking somebody else's influence or something else's influence is important.
Well, it changes your own energy field when you do that, too. Not when you're standing over yourself with a whip and saying, I've got to thank this person, although I hate them. That doesn't work. But when you... For example, every meal that you eat, there's another life that has given itself so that your life can continue to be supported with food. So you say thank you to the life that has given itself that I may continue living.
Yeah, that's true, and it's and every aspect of our lives, there's some of that.
Yes, we just have to open our eyes and see it, just like the optical illusion. You have a choice as to where you're going to focus your mind, and whether you're going to open your eyes or whether you're going to close them in fear.
Yeah. That's so true, and your talk tonight has been very hopeful, and that yeah, we can do something about it. You said it's not easy, but we're not condemned to whatever purgatory is out there.
Exactly. You can stay or you can leave. Your choice.
Just like that. Well, then why isn't it easy for everyone if it's just that easy to say?
It's easier to say than it is to do, because we've all got a lot of
baggage.
culturally conditioned blocks that probably everybody feels I'm not good enough in some area. There's something wrong with me. And we want to hide what we don't like about ourselves. And trying to hide it just focuses us more on what we're seeing as a defect rather than bringing it out into the open in some way, even if it's just to yourself through your journaling, for example, or your vision boards or your affirmations. It makes it transparent. So then you can step outside of it and look at it, as you have mentioned, years later. Maybe you go back and read some of the things that you've read, or these dreams keep repeating themselves until they suddenly fit together and make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting how, I mean, I know, because I'm a chiropractor, I know the body is constantly trying to physically heal itself.
Yes, if you allow it.
Yes, it doesn't know how, and just giving it the right kind of nudge in the correct direction, and it will be able to do it.
Or support it. Just
give it the support. Yes, that's important thing to realize.
Which is a very different energy from, you know, telling your body what to do. Again, that's kind of like standing over yourself with a whip. But, you know, it's asking yourself that question, what do I need right now? And then give yourself what you need. Find a way of supporting yourself with what you need.
Yeah. And it's always available. It may not seem like it, but it's always available, or we wouldn't even think we could do it if it wasn't available.
Well, lots of times it's not available in the form you're looking for it.
It'll
show up in a different form, and then after it happens, it's, oh, I wasn't looking.
You have to recognize
there.
It.
Well,
yep,
yeah.
That's why.
It's a gift. So be open to accepting and receiving the gifts. They're all around.
All the time.
You just have to open your
eyes
and see them. Yeah.
That's why it's important to be very careful what you wish for.
Oh, yes. It can get you in a lot of trouble.
You
might solve your immediate problem, but you create a lot of additional challenges for yourself.
We have no idea how it's going to manifest, and it might be
something. That's exactly right.
Totally different from what we want. And we might not recognize it for years. And then, oh, that was the answer I prayed for.
Exactly.
You know, we can get what we want, but it's not always in the form we recognize.
Yeah. Sometimes we actually narrow our choices by being too explicit about the way we want it to show up.
Yeah.
We cut out. It keeps us from seeing a lot of other options.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's important to realize.
Yeah. And, Doran, it is getting late here on the East Coast.
Yes, so. I understand that, yeah. But, yeah, it's getting very late. But I just wanted to thank you so much, Shannon. You've definitely giving us something to think about. You've given us homework. I mean, heck, this is a real study
session. It's homework. Think of it as things to play with and explore, as you choose, as they interest you, as you want to try.
Yeah.
And then observe what happens.
Yes. Well, I thank you very, very much. You've definitely had some food for thought here. And
okay, good.
You go back to sleep and, you know, live your life down there in Florida, which my mother, who also lives down there, said was very warm today.
Yeah, where is she in Florida?
Boynton Beach.
Okay, that's
near what's it called? You don't fly into let me see, not Orlando. She lives like on the west coast of Florida, like in the middle of the state. Fort Lauderdale is what she's near.
Okay. And I'm just a little bit below that. I'm in Sarasota.
Okay. Okay, yeah.
No, Fort Lauderdale's on the East Coast.
Yeah. But that's about where she is. But she's on the West Coast.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Florida's not that huge, but yeah. I sometimes would fly into there when I was going to visit her. But that's kind of the area.
I'm not going to do that tonight, and I do need to end this conversation. But I very much appreciate your hosting me on this, and
thank
me the
you
opportunity
for talking to us, Janet.
Yeah, I'm happy to share my experiences and some of my own struggles and how I've resolved them, and maybe there'll be something there that can help somebody else.
And I hope the listeners realize that. So thank you and good night, Janet.
Well, Doran, thank you very much. We'll talk. Take care.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Okay, everyone who's listening. Now, Janet has left, but if there are any questions, please reach her through her website. She's on LinkedIn. That's how I found her. Her name is Janet Smith Warfield. So you can look her up on LinkedIn and her website, the founder of Planetary Peace, Power, and Prosperity Legal Foundation. I never asked her what's the best way to get in touch with her, but I think those particular through LinkedIn or through her Interplanetary Foundation will help you reach her. And I want to thank her very much for coming tonight. And good night to everyone who's listening, and sleep well. Goodbye.